Thank you very much, Mr. Wes Tuttle. Wonderful worship music. Okay, let's talk about prayer. And first of all, I neglected Sunday morning to inform you that Nancy Becker fell and severely fractured her hip, and she's in pain, and they've done a couple of different MRIs to just be sure nothing broke, but how everything was, and it's just going to be a while of painful healing, and so please be in prayer for Nancy Becker as she works through this. And I told her, I said, boy, what a bummer time to do it at the beginning of summer, because they do a lot of traveling during the summer to Tin Cup and different places. So just a rough time. So please be in prayer. And for Don, I mean, whenever one spouse is down, the other kind of pays. And those are opportunities. And please continue to be in prayer for John and Judy. As I told you last night, both of them got something really bad. I talked to John today, and he said that both were feeling a little better, but still not through this thing. And poor Judy, just it's her first really free week, because she had a week last week. She was off, but she had the conference with me there. This was her first week just to kind of let her hair down, and here she is sick. So please be in prayer for John and Judy. It's intrusive when any of us are sick, but they've got so much to do, and John, church, and work, and he's kind of counting the days. He's going to retire from his airport job at the end of July, so he's looking forward to that, and we might think about having him here for a conference, and just let people know that we're going to do that. So we'll just be in prayer about that. But please be in prayer right now about their health and recovery. And John's doing really good, at least before he got sick after I left. But he was, his arm, his leg, he doesn't need a cane. And he's just progressively doing better. And we went to the gym nearly every day, and he could tell that that was going to be really good. So I think he's going to try to implement that, get back into the gym. And he wasn't really sure what he might be able to do, but we found out we can do a lot, and it will strengthen the arm and the leg and his body. So that'll be good. Then we need to be in prayer for Tish as she think you're healing.
I'm feeling much better. Okay. I think it's working.
Okay. Well, you look much better. You look nicer tonight than not like you're going to hit Jim or something. So you think it's being effective?
I think it's working, yeah.
Very good. Okay. Very good. Well, we'll continue to pray that the treatment you're doing will be effective for getting rid of the cancer. And so that. And then Nathan, what's the status? He signs. And when will he go?
They'll tell him tomorrow.
Okay. Okay.
After. He's supposed to be there at 5 o'clock tomorrow.
In the morning.
Tomorrow afternoon.
Boy, that's not Army. What is wrong? Wow.
He starts 5 tomorrow.
All right. Tell him to carry a toothbrush. That may be it. So, and Edna, how's Edna?
She got released today from the doctor.
Very good.
Everybody watch out. She's already been in the car today.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, that's good news for a son-in-law. And your brother's doing better. And so that's good. Let's see. What else did we have? Mickey. We're going to be in prayer for Mickey Bell. Let me think. Oh, please be in prayer for this camp next week in Tulsa. be in prayer for the safety of the travel. Got a priority thing, safety of the travel of these children going to the camp, and then safety and all while they're at the camp, and then the spiritual and fellowship, that they'll see that other kids are like-minded, and they'll just have fun, but have fun in learning. I'm looking forward to working with Grady, sort of joint teaching with Grady and some of the other people teaching, but Grady and I will be doing that. And Dan, I'm looking forward to that. I'll be teaching at Dan's church Sunday morning, so please be in prayer in regard to my teaching, both the children and at the church. So just be in prayer for the young people. And next week we won't have class, but I just challenge you each day during the week, just if you recall, think about it, to be in prayer for these children, young children, and at the camp. So please be in prayer for that. Any other? Eve's not well. Just okay. Well, we need to be in prayer for Eve. My goodness. Okay, whatever's going on, we need to be in prayer for Eve and get her back and healthy, and she'll have next week to be off, so get to regain her energy and come back and worship with us. So good. We need to be in prayer for Eve. Okay, any other prayer requests? Yes. Christina. Need to be in prayer for Christina. And whatever, boy, that was a really shocker story. So we need to be in prayer for Christina. And that spiritually and then physically and then just adjusting to life in the spiritual realm. Yes. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for our study in dealing with the greater works. And we're now dealing with prayer and the greater works. The greater works require faith. The greater works require Jesus Christ to depart from earth and go to be with the Father. And then the third thing was prayer. So let's prepare ourselves for a study of prayer by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the opportunity we have to assemble together tonight, to open the text, and to learn some things in regard to prayer. Prayer is so vital in our relationship with you. You have made it a function all through history, a wonderful privilege that we have finite, numbering as the sand on the seashore. Our life is like the flower, blooms in the morning and withers in the evening. Have the opportunity to come to the sovereign, omnipotent God in prayer. What an awesome privilege that we have. Father, we pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see in regard to prayer. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we have left off last week. I was in Tucson, and the conference went really well, and very pleased with everything about last week in regard to teaching there in Tucson. But where we are, we were looking at some observations of prayer. And we noted one, actually as A, if we did it the right way, prayers. We saw prayers that are answered by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. And then B, we saw prayers and how they were connected with some way the Holy Spirit. Then we saw C, we saw prayers addressed. Prayers addressed to God the Father, and answered by God the Father. Prayers addressed and answered. by God the Father. Then D, we noted where neither the one whom prayers are addressed, so neither the ones to whom they're addressed, nor the one who answered, nor the one who answered the prayer is given in this text. So, is really expressly mentioned. Neither one is mentioned. And then E, which was our last point, was the prayers answered. Prayers answered by God the Father, but with no mention of Jesus Christ. No mention of Jesus Christ. So we just took up different texts, different passages. And then from that, we were summary, conclusion, concluding observations. And so let's quickly go through, and this is where we left off. Was point one, prayer is addressed to both Jesus Christ and God the Father. Prayer is addressed to both Jesus Christ, is answered by both Jesus Christ and God the Father. Prayer is offered in the name of Jesus Christ and answered in His name. Four, but there are passages where God the Father answers prayer without mentioning the name of Jesus Christ. Five, in these passages, to ask is in both the present and aorist tense, notifying the continuous prayer life of every saved person and emphasizing an emphasis placed on each specific prayer prayed. In several, it is the imperative mood where Christians are exhorted to pray. In point six, there are various conditions of answered prayer, and we noted seven. Asking in the name of Jesus Christ, asking God the Father, if we abide in Him, my words abide in you, we keep His commandments and do what is pleasing in His sight, two or more come to agreement upon the request, and then seven, if you pray believing. So those we took up. And then point seven, we noted the answering of prayer. First of all, with the verb do, we noted a number of passages, John 14, 13, and 14. Then the verb to give, He will give an answer to the prayer, John 15, 16, 16, 23. And then the verb to receive, whatever you ask, you will receive, 1 John 3, 22, Matthew 7, 8, and Matthew 21, 22. And then we have request, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And then 5, in John 15, 7 and Matthew 18, 19, it will be done for you. So those are just different verbs and relationships of the answering of prayer. Pertinent passages. Point 1, there are many prayers by Paul where the one to whom the prayer is offered and the one who answered the prayer is omitted. Yet it seems that Paul, all prayer was addressed to God the Father, and we took up a number of scriptures in reference to that point. Then secondly, we should pray in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 6:18, Jude 1:20, in faith, James 5:15, 1 Peter 3:12. And then three, congregational meetings for the purpose of prayer was a vital part of the first century church, Acts 2:42, therefore setting a precedence, which is it's fine to follow in that regard. All right, that brings us to point four now. That's where we left off. Having a set time and place for prayer is not in itself a violation of the law of liberty. It's not in itself a violation, just as it isn't a violation of the law of liberty that we have a set time that we come to worship, and we have the place that we come to worship. So, and the same is true in regard to prayer. Let's look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Acts chapter 3, verse 1, please. Sometimes it's good to have a set time and place to pray. Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. John Hintz's church on Tuesday night, they meet in different homes for a month. They'll meet in one home for a month and in another home. And they just have some powerful prayer time. And it's just so wonderful. We're mentioned every Tuesday night in their prayer time together. And thank them for that. And they just they have a wonderful fellowship time. And they have fun and talking and just getting ready and then going into the prayer. And it just is it's a really powerful thing. Then look at Acts 10, please. Acts 10, verse 30. Acts 10, verse 30. Now, some of these passages we read looking at other things, but this is, each thing just keeps building on what we're looking at. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour. Behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. So, they had an hour set that they prayed at home or at the place where they met. Let's look at chapter 16, Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 13. Acts 16, verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer, and we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. Now, they had assembled to pray, and Paul used the opportunity to do some teaching. And that's very wonderful. And then if you'll keep reading down, verse 16, and it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl, having a spirit, divination met us, was bringing her master much profit by fortune telling. Now, the point is that there was a time and a place. There was a place that they could go and pray. And I don't think that this is any violation of law or liberty. I know hospitals generally will have a little chapel, and people feel very comfortable. Now, hey, we know you can pray at any time, anywhere. That's the bottom line. Hey, pass a law, no prayer in school. Well, it didn't stop me from praying for every test that I had. But it's nice to have a place that you can go, and it's quiet generally, and you can pray. So no dogma should be built on this concept as to require time and place, position. There are passages that mention praying on one's knees, for an example. Let's look at Acts 9, just to show you this. Acts 9, verse 40. Acts 9, 40. But Peter sent them all out, knelt down and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now, that doesn't mean that's a sacred position. You want to pray on your knees, that's fine. There's nothing more effective in it. There's nothing that's... if you don't get on your knees. Look at chapter 20 a moment, please. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. The title of this book is Acts. It deals with the Acts of the early church. All right, Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 36. Acts 20, verse 36. And when he had said these words, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And then Acts 21, 5. And when it came about that our days were ended, we departed and started on our journey, while they all, with wives and children, escorted us until we were out of the city, and after kneeling down on the beach and praying, we said farewell to one another. So, praying on your knees is fine. One of my favorite stories of praying on your knees is at, I believe it was the Battle of Chancellorsville. I'm not sure my recollection, but during the hectic of the war, the Confederate men had a circle, and which they would join and pray, and people would get up and leave, and others would come and kneel, and they would pray. And they heard, they said they heard this horse stop and some commotion, and they looked up, and Robert E. Lee had joined them in kneeling down to pray with them. And that really struck them, these soldiers, to their heart, that he took that time to get down and pray with them. So there's nothing that makes a prayer more sacred if you're on your knees, but it sometimes it's good concentration. It takes care. It's like closing your eyes. It just takes out all of the distractions, and you're concentrating on what's going on rather than looking around and seeing your shoes untied or they need shined or a bug crawling, or you get distracted by things. So you just get down and pray. Praying with lifted hands is not out of order either. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We don't do this, but just because we don't do it does not mean that it is wrong. 1 Timothy 2:8. 1 Timothy 2:8. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. And so lifting up the hands is, that's fine. We don't do it, and there are a lot of people that do it, and you shouldn't feel uncomfortable if you're in a midst of people that do that. That's what they do, and that doesn't make it any more sacred if you raise your hand or not. But raising your hand is not at all out of line. It's not a mandate for every prayer and every believer that we raise our hands, but it certainly is an order if that's what people want to do. And praying day and night is also effective. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3:10. As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. Okay, so prayer is 24 hours a day. God's always awake. His line's always open. And so he's doesn't close down. Okay, point five. It is a pastor's responsibility to pray. It is a pastor's responsibility to pray and to study the Word. All right, let's look at Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. We've done these, haven't we? We've gone through all of these. Why didn't y'all say so? Okay, verse 5. That's point five. It's pastor's responsibility to pray. Point six, prayer was offered to God for Christians who were suffering. Acts 12, 5. Point seven, some of the circumstances in which believers would pray together. And we noted five of those. Point eight, some prayer requests recorded in the epistles to the church. And we noted ten of those. And now we're ready for point 11. Well, why didn't you tell me? Okay. Point 11.
Knew that we needed to hear this again.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's good. So something in those points somebody need to hear. Okay, point 11. If I'd have noted, it says 11 June right there. Okay. Point 11. Christians should be in prayer for their... Ah! This is a great place. I should have began right here. Christians should be in prayer for their pastor. Christians should be in prayer for their pastor. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:25. 1 Thessalonians 5:25.
We labor in
Yes, boy. Yeah, no. 525. Brethren, pray for us. Very brief verse for such an important subject. Just made the point. Let's see. And then A, under point 11, A, pray that he be delivered from those who seek to harm him, harm the pastor. Let's look at Romans 15:30. Romans 15:30. Just different things in regard to praying in regard to the pastor, teacher of the scriptures. Romans 15:30. Now I urge you, brethren, Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Now I urge you, brethren, believers, fellow believers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. So it's been prayer for safety of the pastor teacher. All right, 2 Corinthians 1:11. 2 Corinthians 1:11. Now the sentence starts way up at verse 8, but we'll just look at verse 11. And it says, you also joining in helping us through your prayers, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. Now that's a very powerful and important prayer. And that's like us praying for the Rieslings and you praying when I travel or even here. And so that's a powerful, important prayer. Point C. Pray that he will speak with boldness. Speak with boldness the gospel. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. And I request this as I travel to Tulsa to speak in the church and then at the camp. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Now this is a wonderful place to start at verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Holy Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance, and be on the alert for interference with your prayer life, and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. And then Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Philippians and in Colossians. Now a good place to start in the Colossians 4 is at verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. I just hope that you do have a running relationship, intimate relationship with God the Father in prayer. Devote yourself in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. So here he's asking for the prayer for open doors. This would be a good prayer for us for the Rieslings, even though the context is a pastor, but it's they're given the gospel. So be like praying for them that when they travel from a little, not even villages, but houses and villages and little communities, one that they open doors so the gospel will be given to them. The 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians, a few pages over. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Absolutely, absolutely. Pray for open doors for yourself. Absolutely.
I just very rarely have an opportunity, and I pray that.
Yeah.
When it's there, it's there.
I pray it when I go to the gym. When I go somewhere that's out of the ordinary for me, meaning, you know, I just stay in my house, which I give thanks for. I don't have to fight the traffic. That's why I can use the traffic as an example. I don't have to suffer it. But, so I just pray that if there's someone here who needs the gospel, and it's not a long prayer, just a quick prayer as I either drive up or sit in my car or walking in, just pray that if there's someone who hear the gospel that's ready, please let me be brought into communication with them. So yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I prayed, if any of you read the account of my trip to Africa with Dan, part of my prayer was not just the people that we would go to, but anyone that we would run into along the way. If you remember, I wrote that in there. And he brought people along the way, like the man that accepted Christ in the hotel there in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And so, yeah, this is a prayer for all of us. That open door would come. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. So he's praying again for open door and the work of the Holy Spirit. Note that once you have been blessed by the teaching of the truth of the gospel, you are motivated to pray that others will receive the same blessing. Others will receive the same teaching, the same truths. This is really powerful. To have that appreciation. I think I mentioned last time or last night or something, but what the Rieslings experience is just so wonderful that they gave the gospel to this one lady, and she said, oh, wait, right here with the TV and everything. And she ran off, and she wanted to tell her neighbors about Jesus Christ and then bring them there and let them teach them. But she wanted to be the one to tell them about Jesus Christ. And that kind of heart is just a wonderful heart. Okay, and then D, under point 11, in dealing with prayers for the pastor, prayer that he comes to you to teach truth. This would be Philemon 22. Philemon 22. Just one chapter in this book of Philemon. The last book of Paul. I got Titus and then Philemon. Philemon 22. And at the same time also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I shall be given to you, to be able to come to you and given to you to teach. And Philemon 22. Philemon 1:22. And at the same time also prepare for me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I shall be given to you in the sense of coming to teach the truth. So I just pray that you'll be in prayer for me going to Tulsa and the church, the camp, and anything else, anywhere else that might open up the opportunity. Okay, point 12. Christians should be in prayer for each other. And boy, they're just overwhelming number, but Christians should be in constant prayer for each other. A, for those believers who give support monetarily. for those who give support monetarily, 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 through 15. So let's read 2 Corinthians 9, 13 through 15. Second Corinthians 9, verse 13, because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Now what's happening here is that a group of Gentile believers in Corinth are giving money for the help and support of Jewish believers who are suffering in Jerusalem. And as a result, those believers in Jerusalem give thanks to God. So this is really powerful, I think, in dealing with the things that will happen in regard to prayer by your ministry. They will glorify God. Verse 13. So you give, they glorify God. They don't glorify you, they glorify God for your obedience and to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality, your contribution to them. So by giving causes them to give thanks to God. And that's just a wonderful and powerful point to be made. And then verse 15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Okay. For blessings for all. For blessings. 1 Timothy 2:1. 1 Timothy 2:1. 1 Timothy 2:1. We don't travel this way very often, so taking some time looking these verses up together in a Bible church is fine. Just orient us to things about prayer. 1 Timothy 2:1. But I just think that's so wonderful about them giving, causing the people that receive it to praise God. Not them, but to praise God. And I think that's just a wonderful benefit of giving. Okay, for blessings for all, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. So this is for God blessing and on all. C, pray for one another when there is trouble between believers. Pray for when there is trouble between believers. James chapter 5, verse 16. James 5, instead of gossiping and running them down and maligning, be in prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. You know, I grew up in part of my life in a church that talked about confession for spirituality, and they made a real big deal out of 1 John 1:9. They didn't use this one very much at all. Confessing to one another. In fact, it was, oh no, you don't do that. Well, here's a verse that clearly says, in verse 1:9, who you confess to is really left not stated. There's a lot, when we did 1 John 1:9, we saw there was a lot of clarity we wish John would have made. And he didn't do it. Just let us down. But here, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now, a righteous man is a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in the power of the Spirit, being led of the Holy Spirit. That's the righteous man. Paul will use the word be spiritual. Those of you who are spiritual, restore, righteous. He uses different words to connote what being in the power of the Spirit is about. So, therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed. Now, the confession is not so that you can go, aha, I knew you did it. It's for restoration. It's for restoration. It's not the Miranda thing where everything you say can be held against you. That's not the prayer that we do or confessing we do with God or with one another. However, some believers will do that, so you got to be careful. Okay, that's James. Now, point 13. Married couples are not to deprive one another except for agreed time to pray. Now, I think you know what we mean by deprive. Okay. 1 Corinthians 7:5. And instead of the old headache thing, she ought to say, I got to go pray. And that would be more biblical than saying, I got a headache. I thought it was funny. Well, hon, you sure do pray a lot. So, 1 Corinthians, what was that verse? 1 Corinthians 7:5. 1 Corinthians 7:5. Stop depriving one another sexual relationship, except by agreement for a time that you may devote yourself to prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So, the couples come to agreement in prayer. Husbands specifically are to treat their wives in an understanding way, and their own prayers are not hindered. Because a man can have his own prayers hindered by the way that he treats his wife. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 on that. 1 Peter chapter 3. Husbands have to be very careful on how they treat their wives. It will affect their prayer life. 1 Peter 3:7. Okay. Peter, who was married, not that that's a big issue, Paul wasn't. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So abusive treatment of the wife can hinder a man's prayer. Now, what you want to do is remember the time in which this was written. And women were treated rather harshly. And they were a second-class citizen in the Roman Empire, and then throughout the areas that the gospel went. And so the women in Athens, for an example, were so mistreated as compared with the women of Sparta. And the women of Athens, they were to stay at home. They could not go out without their husband with them. And the men would have their mistresses, and mistresses would know more about the business going on, because it was okay to have your mistress with you in business meetings, but not your wife. Well, the women of Sparta, the wives of Athens, found out about the wives of Sparta, and in Sparta, their men, their husbands, made their wives exercise, engage in business, and take care of themselves, and take care of everything. And it caused quite a stir socially between the two cities, and eventually a war broke out between the two cities. But, well, the men, the cities, it broke into a war. That was just one part of it. Do what? Yeah, that's They're very severely mistreat their white husband. Huh?
What was the result of the war? Did the women get the...
Sparta won.
Sparta won?
Yeah.
Oh, so the women probably got better treatment.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. So that's 13. Okay, some remarks on prayer that God answers. One, must be a believer in Jesus Christ. Must be a believer in Jesus Christ as personal Savior, therefore in position relationship with Jesus Christ. Two, pray in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. Three, pray believing. Believing, one, that the Holy Spirit will guide you in your prayer request. Believing, two, that God will answer prayer. Four, pray in spiritual love. Praying in spiritual love and the filling of the Spirit is praying and keeping His commandments of 1 John that we read. Five, pray in the name of Jesus Christ, which is praying in accordance with His love, in accordance with His mission, His will. To pray in His name is to pray as if He Himself were the one praying. You're not praying for yourself. You're praying as though you were praying in the place of Jesus Christ. That's praying in His name. It's like coming in someone's name. It's as though they were there. So when you pray, you don't think about yourself. Think in reference to Jesus Christ, His mission, His love, His mission, His will. Six, praying in reference to the greater works. That is the expanding of the spiritual kingdom to all the Gentiles on earth. Jews also, but opening up the kingdom to all people. And seven, while every son of God, believer in Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:26, we're all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, have the right and the privilege to make all requests known to Him. Many of our prayers are what I call iffy, I-F-F-Y, iffy prayers. Praying that God's will be done. I think it's good and befitting in closing this study to look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Okay, Luke chapter 11. The disciples were humbled enough to ask to be taught how to pray. Now, just a comment on that. I think there has to be the teaching from a parent to child. We teach our children how to ask questions correctly and how to speak properly and how to address people properly and to be in prayer. I'm amazed over my lifetime. I'll be out at different places and different number of Christians that just don't feel comfortable even in their private prayer. And about how to pray, which to me is rather alarming because I kind of wonder if that means they haven't been praying very much. And I like to the humorous side of it. I love the line in My Fair Lady by Henry Higgins where he sings a long song about speaking correct English. And he says that you would have more prayers answered if you didn't offend his ears with your the way that you speak. But on the other hand, I think that He's our Heavenly Father. And while there is some things that you want to do properly, you just let your request be made known before Him. And He's our Heavenly Father. There is no right way to pray. There's no wrong way to pray. No right words. No wrong words. We just pray to Him. And different people have different relationships with God. We all have a different relationship with our Heavenly Father. And how we pray is just differently. I know my good friend John Hintz, he'll just throw in a joke when he's praying to God. He'll just throw in something funny while he's talking to God. Now, that's not my ideal. I haven't gotten there yet. But he feels very comfortable and having fun in his prayer with his Heavenly Father. And I like that. So just whatever your prayers developed. Okay, verse 1 of Luke chapter 11. Actually, I'm wondering if I ought to start this because it's going to take quite some time. Let's wait because I would just get the first verse done. And we'll just we'll start here 2 weeks from tonight and get through the Luke of asking Him to pray. Now, if over the period of the while I'm gone, you come up with any questions about prayer that I've not answered, please ask me. I've tried to go through all the passages and hit everything. If I haven't, don't keep it hidden. If you've got the question, somebody else probably does. So let me know, either on a 3x5 card or an email or anonymous call or something. Just feel free to please let me know and on it. Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we petition You in regard to our young children that will be going to camp this weekend. We pray first of all, Father, that You will protect them and their safety of travel, protect the drivers of the vehicle and the various vehicles and of all of them that will be coming to this camp. And then, Heavenly Father, we pray that watch over them and their safety while at the camp. And then, Heavenly Father, that the spiritual impact by God the Holy Spirit, if any will come that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior by faith alone, then I pray that this will be made so clear and so appealing to them, Father. And then those who do know Jesus Christ as Savior, that how to walk in the power of Your Spirit, how wonderful it would be to get these young souls at that young age walking by faith in the Spirit. How powerful that would be for them. And so, Father, we just pray that they'll do this and then give them safe journeys all home, back home after the camp is over, Father. We pray these things that Your will be done in all of next week and to be glorifying to You, and it'll be a wonderful, successful camp with these children and teaching them about Jesus Christ and faith and the Holy Spirit and God the Father and the text, Father. And Father, we pray that You'll continue to heal Tish and pray that You'll heal Nancy Becker and just touch their bodies, Father, and that they'll get better. And pray, Father, that watch over me as I travel and speak. Pray that You'll be with Philip this Sunday morning. Give him this words that Your Spirit would have him to speak, Father. And just take care of this assembly while I'm gone. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.